We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Okay, kids. Just because school's been canceled doesn't mean you have to stop learning.
Horses are for pleasure, and I like to pleasure.
Professors Dusty Hera and Cam Cleland are ready to educate you with their dynamic curriculum.
I'm not a doctor, and I'm not an ergonomist.
It's time for Homeschool with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
The Fan.
All right, welcome in to our third installment of Homeschool. Good open, Buck. Well played.
Thanks.
All right, because we are now educators, all of us parents out there with kids that are in school, we're having to do the teaching.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. We're trying to help you out with a little homeschooling. We dive into different topics that your kids, you, maybe even want to learn about. And today we're going into economics. And we are joined by Associate Professor of Economics at Gonzaga University, Dr. Ryan Herzog. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Doing really well. I have, anytime we have a doctor on, I have a question of, would you rather me call you Dr. Herzog?
I think all of my students, it's either Ryan or just Herzog. I don't think anyone calls me doctor, and I think Buckley can probably attest to that.
Perfect. All right. So let's get into economics, because this is something that I've always had a question about, like economics and why aren't we taught more economics outside of just a year of it in high school? It seems like something that we should be taught more often in school.
Yeah, I agree. I think with this crisis, you're getting some people talking about wanting to bring economics back. I know we're part of the Economic Council of Education are trying to get economics back in school, at a minimum, get financial literacy back in school. So students can understand basic things like interest. When you use a credit card, it's not free. You got to pay it back, and oftentimes more costly than what you would expect. So I think there is a push to get financial literacy at a minimum back into schools. I know the banking system's trying to do a lot of that. We see a lot of programs in the K-5 trying to teach kids how to save. So hopefully this just kind of keeps pushing that back into the schools.
And what are a few things that, like, I guess we're not teaching in high school economics that should be part of the curriculum that we're missing out? I mean, you mentioned interest is a big one.
So, you know, when it comes to economics, I'm big on wanting to teach people how to find the right information. And for high school students, I think a lot of that is resources on career. How do you find what career path you want to go down? What's the best way of achieving that? Going to college? Do you borrow to college? Do you delay college? There's all these big financial decisions you have to make when you're 16, 17, 18 years old. And I don't think these students have the resources given to them to make that decision of, hey, do I want to go to Gonzaga University? It's going to cost me X dollars. Do I go to community college? Do I go to Oregon? How do I make that decision? And so I think that's one path that we need to spend a lot of resources on to ensure students are making that correct decision.
Dr. Ryan Herzog is our guest, Associate Professor of Economics at Gonzaga University. If you have any questions for him, text us 55305. Is balancing a checkbook something that we should know how to do in a digital world?
I'm going to say no to that, because I asked my students when the last time they wrote a check was, and I don't think some of them have ever written a check. And we give away online access to all of our accounts instantaneously with a thumbprint. I think more importantly, we need to learn how to budget. And so we needed to learn how to balance a checkbook because it took 1-2 weeks to get that check to clear. So you needed to remember that check was sitting out there floating in the banking system. Now we have instant access. So more importantly, what expenses do you have coming up and how are you going to pay for them is, I think, a more important skill.
Ryan, I got a sports question for you. I'm diving into it.
Okay, good.
I got so just recently came out that an average 5-star football player would it be equivalent to $650,000 per an athletic department. What would you say with, you know, let's use Gonzaga as an example, unbelievable basketball program. What would you say the value of a very good basketball player to Gonzaga? Not just does that bring in other students, notoriety? If that kind of number is put out for these athletes, do you see a little hypocrisy with it? Or do you see that that valuation might be just a little bit too much and it doesn't make sense?
You know, it's hard to look at that because we had Rui Hachimura this last couple years, and he was probably one of the most valuable college basketball players we've ever had. And I'll put him up there with Zion Williamson in terms of his value globally with the Japanese market. He was his dollar amount was crazy, and certainly Gonzaga benefits from that. My position when I was hired 11 years ago, we joke about it being an NCAA position because the growth of our university has benefited from that. So I wouldn't cringe at the 600,000 because I could easily see the value of that player, especially on a basketball school where 1 or 2 5-star recruits can make the difference between missing the tournament and making March Madness or making the Final Four. So that value is certainly there, especially at a smaller school like Gonzaga, where as we get into this name recognition and getting, you know, profit for likeness in a community like Spokane, Eugene, Oregon, Corvallis, the same way, these players, their value is going to be significantly larger than a kid that's in Seattle who gets lost among the NFL professional franchises.
You know, and that's an interesting kind of way to think about and look at it. What is the impact economically for college athletics in small communities like Spokane in those cities that you're talking about?
It's and I've done some economic impact studies on Gonzaga, and Gonzaga as a university is Spokane's largest tourist destination, and part of that is absolutely because of basketball. We have 6,000 fans now, mostly are coming from Spokane, but we get people every week coming over from Seattle, Portland, wanting to go to games. So the economic impact, we are the equivalent of a professional sports franchise. In winter, that's what people do. We have, you know, some WHL hockey, and that's about it. And so Spokane really is, has embraced Gonzaga, and Gonzaga, if we have a game in our arena, it holds 10,000-11,000, it sells out within an hour, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. Yeah. So that impact is certainly much larger on a small community. When you have a team like a Gonzaga or down in Eugene, Oregon.
If we're looking at like the doom and gloom of athletic departments based on not having a football season, but Gonzaga is a great kind of test here because they fund their Olympic sports without having a football program. How does that happen? And was not having the NCAA tournament kind of crippling for that athletic department?
Yeah, and we're going to see how that plays out because I think if you look at how, and I don't know how much detail you've gone into how the NCAA pays out their units, we know there's about, 280,000, 300,000 per game that a team will play in over six, you know, each year for 6 years. So each game costs us about 1.5 to 1.8 million. And Gonzaga reasonably would have, I think, made the Elite Eight this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a safe assumption. So you're talking we lost 1 to 1.2 million in our athletic department budget each year for the next 6 years. We only have a $25, $27 million budget. So that's a pretty big chunk of money that comes out. And if you followed Gonzaga news, it was very clear that, okay, we got to make some money very quickly. So we made announcements that we have a home and home with Texas. We have a home and home with Kansas that we had scheduled right after the cancellation of the March Madness. So there's ways we're going to look at, obviously, trying to boost revenue. The non-revenue sports, Olympic sports, I think there's a little misunderstanding. I know University of Cincinnati just cut their soccer team, but a lot of the revenue sports, if you can contain travel expenses, and I think that's one of the things that's going to happen with this crisis is teams are going to play a lot more local competition. Obviously on the West, that gets really hard because we don't have a lot of D1 universities. but you're going to see schools contain travel for these non-revenue, these Olympic sports. Most of these kids are still paying a good chunk of money to attend school. They're not on full rides. If you look at the scholarship limitations, you know, they're carrying rosters of 30 for, say, women or men's soccer, and they're only giving out the equivalent of 9 to 10 scholarships. So I think it's a little bit misleading when you look at the non-revenue sports, because these kids do bring in some tuition revenue as well.
Dr. Ryan Herzog is our guest, Associate Professor of Economics at Gonzaga University. Now, we have some listener questions that have come in on our text line, 55305. This one is an interesting one because there's a lot of people that aren't making a whole lot of money here. And it says, what's the best way for young adults who are making minimum wage to save, or just a few dollars above, to start saving for the future in retirement?
That's one of the big challenges we have with savings is if you are just making a minimum wage or just a little bit above minimum wage, and you're living in high rent districts like Portland or Seattle, it's tough to make do, right? It's tough to even pay your bills. And so to say, hey, you know, save 10% of your income, that's really hard. You know, take advantage of tax credits, earned income tax credits, things like that. Try to put away for a rainy day. Budget the best you can, you know. When you're just at that minimum wage, I wish there was something better to say. By the time you look at health expenses, rent, if you have transportation expenses, it's hard, right? And you see that with savings across our country. Low-income households just don't have the resources to save, which is this economic kind of crisis we're in. It's pretty interesting because I'm hearing a lot of stories now of people that were laid off are actually now, and we know this in Washington State, in Oregon, it's the same, where they're making more money with the unemployment boost, that $600 a month plus unemployment, than they would have working. So we're seeing people not want to go back to work for these 12 weeks because they're better off.
Right. What would you, if you were, this is, I mean, I have high schoolers. I mean, I have one high schooler, but I have kids and my wife's a high school educator too. And I know Dusty's wife's a teacher. Mm-hmm. If you could go into, and this is just maybe a student question, but it goes along with athletes that are enrolling. If you could go into a high school curriculum or even a younger curriculum, what would you change economically? I know you mentioned interest at the beginning of this interview. What would be some basics that you would say, this is a requirement we should start implementing immediately?
I would say, and this is maybe the nerd economist me coming out, something tied to data literacy, because you hear numbers thrown around all the time. And whenever there's a number, instantly society puts some value to truth behind that number, when oftentimes they're taken out of context. And so, you know, at the high school level, how do you find information? How do you validate that this information is truthful? Is it coming from a valid source? So something where we're building in data literacy to teach critical thinking skills earlier. So when you hear something that sounds outrageous, you just don't take it as truth, because we're hearing a lot of things coming out right now where there is this desire to sensationalize the news. What do these numbers mean? And how do I interpret them?
That's fascinating. That is because of all the different graphs and the curves and the things that we see now. So true.
Yeah, if I present a graph, it's just taken as, oh, that must be true because he's right. An economist and he has his PhD. And instead of then asking, okay, well, where did you get the data? Or how did you do that? Or what does it mean? You know, we're not digging into these kind of in-depth questions.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that a lot of people are just taking some either not well thought out graphs and information, and then they're just taking it as the gospel and saying, well, as you said, it's on a graph. I should believe it. Is that a part of the problem? Like when kids are getting into college, you're having to is kind of reteach some misconceptions that a lot of people from different walks of life in different parts of the country are coming in with?
We do. And getting students to know, okay, you know, anyone can find the information that we teach these days, right? We're not holed up in some, you know, the Ivy Tower kind of story. The internet's available for anyone. These resources are available for anyone. So how do you know you're coming in and, hey, you just read this op-ed, it sounded great. They have all these numbers floating around and, okay, well, what does that really mean? Was those really the right questions they're answering? Is it the right analysis? Because here's another op-ed that says the exact opposite, right? So how do you come to terms instead of just defaulting to one because it's in your favorite newspaper or online, it shows up in your Twitter feed.
Right. Right. That's got to be a challenge. It's not just a challenge for everybody, but I'm assuming as an educator, it's an even bigger challenge for you today.
Well, I'm glad I help.
I appreciate it, man. Ryan Herzog, Homeschool Edition, Volume 3. Fascinating. You asked the question. I think this deserves a little bit more. When talking about the value of those recruits, he mentioned kind of a very local one to him and what that meant. And it is Rui Hashimura, what his value to the Gonzaga University and the community at large in Gonzaga.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.